Well, hello there and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and on this edition of the conversation, I'm chatting with Dr. Marjorie Burris. She is Adult Day Healthcare Program Manager with the Fairfax County Department of Neighborhood and Community Services, and today we're going to talk about Adult Day Healthcare, what it is, and why it's so important. Marjorie, first of all, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Very happy to be here.
Good. Looking forward to the conversation. And I got to start with the most basic question. What are we talking about when we say Adult Day Healthcare? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, for the seniors and participants and caregivers that are experiencing cognitive displacement or impairments, we have a place for you. Adult Day is a place for adults 18 years and over with cognitive and physical challenges that result in the need for supervision during the day. You think of daycare for children, we have daycare for adults. Often a family caregiver works and needs a safe and nurturing environment for their loved ones to go. Or perhaps it is a spouse who needs to run errands or want to volunteer somewhere. Or just to go to the senior center and just needs some respite for him or her caregiving for a person with cognitive impairment. I'm proud to say that all the four centers consistently exceed what the regulations call for and get two-year licenses. We are required to have a 6-to-1 participant to staff ratio at all times. The program provides a safe and nurturing environment for the participant and peace of mind for the caregiver, who provides us the privilege of caring for their loved ones when they have other things to do during the day.
You mentioned senior center. Is an adult day healthcare center different than a senior center?
It is very different. The senior centers are for independent seniors aged 55 and over. They can go and participate in a variety of activities and meet up with their friends independently. They don't need any supervision. They don't need any assistance. They can go to any senior center in the county from 9 to 4. And the senior centers offer activities such as shopping trips, exercise classes, computer classes, lectures, and much, much more. It is geared to the higher functioning independent senior. It also offers a variety of activities that are planned by a certified rec therapist or RT. The RT gets to know each participant, learns their preferences, and past history of activities and education level. Because no two people are alike, the rec therapist usually has multiple programs going on at once so that everyone has a choice in what they'd like to do. The ADHC also has two nurses. One is the director, and the other provides most of the hands-on clinical care. Most of our participants have both cognitive and physical impairments, so health monitoring is critical in keeping them healthy and out of the hospital. So to sum it up, if you're going to a senior center, you're 55 and above, you're independent, you can go in, you can play pool, you can have lunch, you can have breakfast and snack, meet up with your friends, a place to meet. The adult day is more of a supervisionary place that is there to provide support for participants that have cognitive impairment. They need the support. They need help eating. They need toileting issues. They need programs that's going to help their frontal lobe continue to develop and not decline. And so our 30-minute programs that we offer for 4 to 6 hours a day helps them maintain their cognitive.
You mentioned there's four centers in Fairfax County. Tell me a little bit more about them. Where are they located? Are they strategically, conveniently located across the county, or where can folks find them?
We have four centers. We have one center, our Lewinsville Center, that is located in the McLean, Virginia area, right by Tyson's Corner. We have our Herndon Center that is connected to a senior center, and the Lewinsville Center is connected to a senior center as well. The Herndon Center is in Herndon. And then we have two centers in Alexandria, one in the Lincolnia area and one in the Mount Vernon area.
Okay. And if folks want to find out more about the locations and the centers, they can just go to
go to fairfaxcounty.gov/older-adults or seniors and scroll down and you'll see a link that takes you to the adult day centers. The phone numbers and addresses are there. We are available to answer questions, give them a guidance on what we offer, and give tours.
Oh, okay.
If they still have questions, they can come in for a tour anytime between 10 and 2.
Okay. We'll get to how they do that maybe a little bit later in the interview or conversation, if we will. You did mention regulations in one of your earlier answers. What are the regulations for your adult day health care centers?
So we are supervised by the Department of Social Services, and there are specific...
The Virginia Department.
Yes, okay. The Department of Social Services. And so there are regulations that we have to maintain. From a licensing perspective, we have to maintain a ratio. We have to make sure that we are providing the proper cognitive programs that meets the needs of our participants. So we maintain our licenses. They come in. The Department of Social Services will come in and do surveys. They will come in and inspect to make sure that we are staying within the regulations.
As folks are listening to this, maybe they've got misconceptions or preconceived thoughts about adult day health care, what that means. How would you address those misconceptions?
When I think of adult day, I think of where can I safely take my mom or dad or a family member, a loved one, where I can feel like they are safe, knowing that at times during the day, they're impaired cognition or they might be sundowning in the afternoon, that someone is there to keep an eye on them and keep them busy. Adult day, and that's what differentiates between us and the senior center. The senior center, you know, you can go there, but the difference is the senior centers don't maintain.
Right, they don't monitor you, right?
Well, they don't take patients that have the mild and impaired cognition. Adult day does. You come in a typical, so for a typical day, for a participant in adult day, some are in wheelchairs, some use walkers, and some just need supervision and walking. Some need medication administered by the nurse during the day. Some need help cutting up their meals or need queuing to go to the toilet. Others might need help with their incontinent care. We have a wonderful program assistant who assists with all of that. So it's a 6-to-1 ratio. Each program assistant is managing six participants. And we have different activities. We have breakout sessions. We have one room could be doing crafts. Another room could be doing exercise. Another room could be doing some kind of mind and body tai chi exercise. It all depends on the care plan that we create for them to meet their needs, because everyone's different.
Right. And I'm assuming that you do this care plan as you meet the participants coming in. So walk
yes.
me through that a little bit.
Absolutely. So once we give them the tour and they complete all the paperwork that is required, we sit down with the caregiver and we have a social history form that we have them complete. I go over, the nurses go over the clinical needs that they may need as far as medication, what they do during the day. And then at the end of the interview, we put together a interdisciplinary care plan between the clinical nurse and the rec therapist that says, hey, based on all the information that you've given us and based off of the registered nurse's 12-point assessment, nursing assessment that they do, this is what support and help we can provide for your loved ones while they are in our care. And it's based off of what we visualize, subjective, objective. When they come in for that admission, it's so important because when they come in, they're coming in with their loved ones. And while we're sitting down with the caregiver to get all of our information for the assessment, the participant is participating in an actual program. Because the goal of the program is to help them, you know, stay cognitively in tune at that moment. And if they're going to want, we're going to want to see if they can participate. If they can't, if they're coming to the center and they can't participate and we're not helping their brain develop, it's pointless. So it's that initial admission is super duper important. I think that once the caregiver sees the participation from the participant while we're doing the admission, it makes them happy. It makes them feel safe. It makes them feel like, oh, wow, I'm not in that person's presence, but they're participating, you know, they're doing exercises, they're doing all the some of the programs while they're there, because the assessment is 2 hours long. So in 2 hours, if they can participate or if they enjoy sitting at a table with other participants that may have the same issues that they have or not, or just regaining the sense of socialness, you know, in the centers, that says a lot.
Yeah. We are on the County Conversation podcast, and we're talking with Dr. Marjorie Burris. She is the Adult Day Healthcare Program Manager with Fairfax County's Department of Neighborhood and Community Services. And one thing you mentioned just a moment ago that I wanted to follow up on, you said the nurses and the recreational therapist, I think was the term you used. So every center has nurses and recreational therapist. And I'm assuming that's a requirement.
It's a licensure requirement.
Okay. All right.
It
Talk
is.
Talk to me a little bit more about, I think you mentioned a ratio of 1-6. Other staffing, or is it just, I'm sure there's more staffing but than just a nurse and a rec
sure,
therapist.
Sure, let me tell you. So every center has about 8 to 10 employees. Each center has a center nurse coordinator, which is a registered nurse who coordinates the care of the entire center. That registered nurse manages the entire center. Then below her, she has a center nurse. That center nurse is a crucial person to the program because once we admit them into the program, the daily monitoring, the vital signs that we may do, if there's something going on with the participant that day, that center nurse who is a licensed practical nurse is the person that is going to be communicating with the caregiver. Hey, your loved one came in today and he or she has a nosebleed. Call them, let them know this is what we're doing. Do you want to pick them up and so forth or not? Behind the center nurse coordinator is the recreational therapist. The recreational therapist is responsible for a huge portion of our program. They are in charge of developing the actual programs for each and every participant that is in the program. And they manage a total of 6 to 7 program assistants. In some worlds, people could look at the program assistant as a home health aide or a certified nursing assistant. They're the ones that's helping them toilet. They're the ones that are actually running the programs. They're the ones that are queuing them and helping them with their sundown in the afternoon, which is a huge issue for our population of participants. Our program assistants carry a big burden at the center, and they have a big responsibility. And a lot of our caregivers know them by name.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Two questions in one. You referenced the term sundowning a couple of times. Tell our listeners what that means, and then I want to follow up about some of the programs that you offer, and let me give me examples of that. So
absolutely. So unfortunately, in dementia and Alzheimer's or cognitive impairment or frontal lobe dementia, there is a certain time where the brain just decides to think that it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, daylight, but for them, it's sleep time. It's the time for them to go to bed. So because they're not at home and because they don't see their space, it forces them to walk around and wander and get very much disoriented. And so during that time, because we know who our participants are that do that, we will either keep them away from our front door or keep them away with it where they can see the buses that are coming in to pick up, you know, their loved ones. We put them in specific, you know, driven programs that will help lessen the sundowning. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. For some of our participants, we have that have specific tasks that they used to do, you know, when they were, you know, adults that did not have dementia. We have a participant right now in our center, for example. She worked for the military, and she was a secretary in the military, and filing papers was her thing. So one of the things that we typically have for her is whenever she's sundowning, we go into her little locker, we get all the files, we, you know, put it in, we scribble it up and mess them up, and then ask her to file them in alphabetical order. And she is able to do that. That kind of takes away from the sundowning a little bit. If she needs, we have another participant that worked in a laundromat for 30 years. So we give her socks, mismatched socks, and ask her to match them up. But we wait for that until the sundowning to do. Now, sometimes she'll just come over to one of us and say, hey, you know, it's time for me to set the washer and dryer. Can you assist? Can I assist you? And we'll give her something to do. But sundowning is a big part that can be very confusing and very scary for our participants, too, because they just don't know. The brain is just doing one thing that is just not helping them in their specific environment.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of specific examples. Are there other types of programs. Talk to me a little bit about the variety of programs, which you've said are tailored to the individual.
Right.
Talk to me a little bit about
that. We have mind right programs. We have programs where name that tune. We have The Price is Right. We have Bingo. Bingo's huge. Bingo is one of those games that resonates with all care.
All ages groups. Yeah.
But mostly any program that we're giving someone that we feel sundowning will, affect is anything that's 15 to 20 minutes long. That's not going to take them. Or we do exercise with them. We do Tai Chi. We'll do the ball toss with them. We have a participant that has to watch a specific game show on YouTube at a specific time every day at 1 o'clock. We have an iPad that we set them up with an iPad, give them a headphones, and that settles him for at least an hour or two before he is picked up. Once again, these are all things that we notice about our caregivers that we put in their care plan. So if we're not there, all you got to do is go to the care plan and find out what we can do to kind of help that person. But there are specific programs in our AHC that works. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but we have to have a plan B. That's why we have all different types of rooms. We have a quiet room. We have a room where if someone's just not having a good day, we can just have them go in our sensory room where we have specific lighting. Our Herndon Center has a fish tank. Our Lincolnian Center has, I forget the name of this animal that they have there, but animal therapy also helps as well for our participants.
Sounds like a lot of specialization for the individual that needs it. And unfortunately, my mind will have two thoughts. I'm like, that's great. But then my second thought is like, well, that's got to cost a lot of money. So talk to me a little bit about cost. Is there a sliding fee scale? Does it cost anything? Does insurance help? Talk to me about the financial side of this.
Yes, we do have a sliding fee scale. We have participants that could be paying from $19 a day to $145 a day. We do take Medicaid. Medicaid will provide a waiver, and they can attend the center on the Medicaid waiver. And there are participants who don't qualify for Medicaid, but there is a Medicare guide. They have Medicare. There is a Medicare guide program that we just found out is coming to existence, where if you have Medicare, the program will provide, I believe, up to 20 days on a full day. So if you're $145, they'll provide services for 20 days.
Okay. Is there a typical day? Is it structured? Is there, I assume it is, but is there like, you do this at this time, or programs are at this time, or snacks are at this time? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes. So our day starts at 7 a.m. We have participants that get dropped off that early. These participants that get dropped off at 7 a.m. have a specific task that they do every time they come in, because not all participants are there by 7 a.m. At that time, we'll give them a structured activity. And then as their friends and other caregivers, other participants come in, we will set them up for breakfast. So 9 a.m. is breakfast. And after breakfast, breakfast is from 9 to 10. And at 10 a.m. is when all of our structured programs start. The majority of our programs, entertainment, and trips are done between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. After 2 p.m., we'll give them a snack. And after a snack, we'll do a group activity. At that point, because of sundowning, a lot of our programs, we separate them and have different groups doing different programs that tailor to their needs. The fast train bus or pickups usually start at 4:30, and usually by 5, all of the participants are gone. They've been picked up.
So it is a full day.
It is a full day.
Wow. Okay. Because
we do take trips. We go to the theaters. We've been to the Kennedy Center. We've been to the DC monuments. We do lunch outings. We go fishing with our participants. We have a group of male participants at all of our centers that love fishing. And then we have one of our nurses who loves that as well. And for Father's Day, he'll take them out fishing. We'll get Fast Train to provide support, and we'll take them out fishing for the day. Our female participants, for Mother's Day, we usually do a high hat tea. We invite caregivers to some of the programs. During the summer, we have outings. We have a lot of things in the community that we do to keep them busy. And we invite caregivers and other communities as well. At the same time, we also assist the senior center, because the senior center has programs that they do. So the senior center and adult day, we partner together and collaborate to provide trips, activities. One of our centers had a clinical day where we did vital signs. We did mini mentals. And this was for everybody in the community. Vital signs, blood pressures, ask questions about their cognitive impairment. That kind of gave us an opportunity to market from the senior center side to come over to adult day. But there's a variety of things that we do at adult day. We are very proud of all of the work that we do.
Yeah, cool. All right. Almost out of time, but I want to make sure let you give the resource again where folks can get more information. But before I do that, I want to ask you, we've mentioned caregivers a couple of times. What would you say to a caregiver listening right now that they should know about your program?
What I would say to caregivers is it's okay to have a fear of not knowing how to care for your loved ones. It is okay. After the pandemic, we've noticed a large amount of anxiety that our caregivers have about dropping their loved ones someplace and feeling like they're safe. I would say, as a caregiver, you need time for yourself. It is okay not to feel guilty, to be able to get up one day and go have lunch with your friends and know that your loved one is at a center being cared for. We provide support groups for our caregivers. We have support groups every month in our centers where we invite them to come in and ask questions. Sometimes they have questions about, you know, my husband, you know, used to be able to bathe himself. Now I have to do that. Like, how do I do that? We'll have someone from physical therapy come in and show them how to do that, give them some guidance and give them some support. But to the caregivers, I would say that there is a place for your loved ones to feel safe, to feel comfortable, to help slow down the process of the disease. Because if you keep them home and you're not actively getting them involved in programs and in things to kind of keep the frontal lobe and the mind moving, it's going to slowly dim their light. But there is opportunities there. The county offers a wide variety of support. If adult day is not the place for you, if you're still not comfortable, there's other programs. We have Insight Memorial Care, we partner up with PACE, and they offer a higher level of support for caregivers, but there is definitely a place here in the county for anyone who requires it from a senior center perspective. And if you have any questions, to get a full range of the county's older adult services, recreation, community engagement opportunities, go to www.fairfaxcounty.gov/older-adults or call 703-324-7948. I'll repeat that. It's www.fairfaxcounty.gov/older-adult-seniors.
So fairfaxcounty.gov/older-adult
or seniors.
Oh, okay. So older adult mm-hmm. or fairfaxcounty.gov/seniors.
Seniors.
Okay. All right. So I'll make sure.
And at the end of the day, if that still doesn't work for you, you can give me a call at 571-585-2790. That is my direct line.
All right. Marjorie, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I'm sure there's a lot more we could have talked about, but people have your phone number and website.
They sure do.
If they want to get more information or a tour, they can get in contact.
I thank you for having me, Jim. I'm here for the greater good of all of our seniors in Fairfax County. And I know that sometimes it's hard to get to that next step, but I can assure you there is a place and there is some help out there for you.
Awesome. That's Dr. Marjorie Burris with us on the County Conversation. Our thanks to her for being here. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.